Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How do you think he lived with himself? How do you think Peter lived with himself? 3 times he had looked someone in the eye and denied that he followed or even knew Jesus. He had put down everything he knew and he had followed this man around for years. He had given up everything, his family, his job, his friends, and he couldn't stand up and admit it. Can you imagine what that must have been like to feel like you didn't know who you were anymore? Can you imagine what it must have been like to know that Jesus had been right when he looked you in the eye and said, "You aren't going to be strong enough to stick around when the going gets tough. You are going to run." What do you do when that's true? This morning's scripture tells us that 50 days after those denials, having seen the resurrected Jesus, having been blessed and commissioned by his resurrected hands, Peter sat in Jerusalem with the other disciples. He had been given a second chance. This time he was going to get it right. This time he wouldn't be afraid. This time he was going to speak. Don't you think he was wondering if he would be strong enough? Don't you think he was wondering if this time he would find the words to be Jesus' prophet? This time to say, "Yes, I am his follower." Jesus had told him that there would be a sign that they should start their ministry, a sign that the Spirit was with them, a sign that he was with them. So tucked into an ordinary house on an ordinary street in Jerusalem with the other disciples, Peter waited. Waiting as the days ticked by, knowing that outside those walls were the people who had killed his friend and his teacher, waiting as the days dragged on, wondering if there was going to be a sign. Wondering if there was a sign, would he see it? Would he know? Waiting to see if there was a sign, would he be strong enough to speak? Today, there are no Roman soldiers anywhere outside those doors. There are no unfriendly religious authorities on Boylston Street. Christianity is the dominant religion of one of the world's most powerful countries, and this gilded sanctuary is a far cry from the ordinary house where Peter waited. It is so clear that when Peter found his voice, he changed the landscape of history, but somehow I think the question still lingers. Pentecost poses for us a very real challenge. If you saw a sign, if you knew that the Spirit was with you, would you speak? The headlines this week were about suicide bombings, nuclear tests, unemployment, disease pandemics. If Peter and the disciples were in need of a sign, if the world was in need of a sign 2,000 years ago, it certainly is in need of a sign now. If the world was in need of a voice for compassion, for transformation, for peace 2,000 years ago, surely it is still in need now. But now, friends, we are Peter. And maybe in some ways, Peter had it easy. Sure, he might have had to deal with the actual threats of physical death for proclaiming himself a follower of Jesus, but he had flaming tongues coming from the sky. He had the disciples able to speak in all the languages of the world, and that's usually a pretty good sign that God has got your back. What have we got We have got workplaces where it can be difficult to talk or even mention one's faith. We have a culture where going to church might be expected, but believing, that is another story. It might even be considered a little weird. Over and over again this year, I have heard this refrain. How do I live a life of faith? How do I have faith in a secular world? Christianity isn't exactly cool these days, you know. And in the church, we have our own version of a dirty word, evangelism. What we have is an unwritten rule. What happens in church stays in church. When the disciples were filled with the gift of speaking in different languages, there suddenly materialized outside the doors of their ordinary house a crowd of people, a crowd that pointed, that laughed, and asked if they were drunk. Is that what we're afraid of? That if we speak, people will laugh? That if we confess our belief in Jesus, if we confess our belief in God's continuing transformative work, people will think we're a little crazy? A little first century? In many ways, what we have is exactly the same problem Peter did. Tucked into our house together on an ordinary street, I think we are waiting for a sign, wondering to ourselves, if we see one, will we speak? And I think, friends, now is the time we find out. Now is the time, because over the course of my time here with you, I have seen God's movement in you, in this extraordinary house here on Boylston Street, in the people gathered here. I have seen the Spirit dancing over you, filling you, emboldening you. Last week, a small group of 20s and 30s got together to celebrate the year that we had had together. We took a ferry to one of the harbor islands, and there, as all the people were still deboarding the boat, we gathered on the beach to say goodbye. Wading ever so slightly into the water, one by one, these women left the safe space where the onlookers were watching. They bent down, they cupped the water in their hands, and they blessed each other with the whole world. Looking on, instead of fear, instead of embarrassment, they spoke. Remember that you are a child of God. Every Thursday night at the jazz service, we celebrate communion. And instead of Quinn or the leader telling the story and blessing the bread and the cup, the story is told by the congregation. Parts of the story are called out as they are remembered. Don't be afraid, Quinn tells them. I know this involves breaking a few church rules, but rest assured that whatever words you have, the Spirit is in them. And the Spirit is in them. Every week, the rule of silence is broken, and the story becomes alive again as every person learns that they do know the story. It does live in them. They do have the words to speak. Even in front of crowds, the story of God's sustaining love. 2 months ago, at the last gathering of our Lenten study groups, participants were asked to share a short piece, a retelling of the gospel in their own words. What do the gospel narratives say to you? What has reading them meant to you? When it was her turn to share her gospel interpretation, one woman stood up and told us that instead of words, she was going to give us her story of the gospel in dance. She stood up and she wrapped herself from head to feet in her scarf. Her arms were bound, her feet were bound, and her face was hidden. Slowly, as the scarf was unraveled, she began to move. She flexed her fingers and her arms, she rubbed her eyes, and then when the last piece of the scarf fell to the floor, she stretched out her arms to the sky. Gospel. And I suppose that's how I feel about my time here with you. I feel a bit like I have been unwrapped, unhidden, unsilenced. The very first Sunday I ever attended services here was Pentecost of last year. The bulletin forewarned me that up there where the stars are painted, it was going to rain a new kind of flame, a gentler, softer, more fire marshal approved kind of flame. But I was unprepared for the wind. The pew-shaking, sanctuary-filling wind. It was my first experience with the Skinner organ, and I was blown away. And I have never stopped being overwhelmed by all of you here. Not only by your kindness and your generosity towards me as the new kid on the block, but with your kindness towards each other. By this place, by the way in which when the building was cracked and broken, you saw an opportunity to show the world what church can be. You came together to reaffirm your commitment to accessibility, to inclusivity, and to work in kindness with the MBTA. I am overwhelmed by the way in which when the world was facing a financial crisis, you put your treasure in God. I am overwhelmed by Nancy and Quinn and Harry and Liz, and their leadership, their mentoring, the way in which each one of them uniquely embodies what church can be, by the way in which their talents and their voices speak so clearly and so prophetically, and by the way in which all of you are willing to open yourselves up to that word, to worship and be challenged in new and different ways. I am overwhelmed by the way in which you came together every Sunday during Lent and asked yourself, what does this mean now? I am overwhelmed. The scripture tells us that on the morning of Pentecost, a violent wind descended on the disciples and they were overcome, able to speak to all the world to bring God's message of hope, to live in the face of opposition as Christ's hands and feet and heart here on earth, to change history with their voices. Peter, with all of his fears and his denials, he stood up and he said to a disbelieving crowd, listen, can't you hear it? This is God pouring out her sweet, sweet spirit on us, each and every one of us. Listen, can't you hear it? This is the sound of a new vision stirring, a new world being created, a world without hurt. A world without hunger. A world with hope. And if anyone ever asks me how I know that this spirit is still at work, I need only tell them this. Because here in this place, you all have helped me find my voice. Like the flames for the disciples and the sounds of his friends prophesying for Peter, you have been for me the sign that God is still with us. Still working in us and through us and sending us out into a broken and twisted and beautiful world. Thank you. And so if I leave you this morning with any one piece of advice, it is that I hope you will not be silent. Be bold in your dreaming. Be loud in your prophecies. Name to each other and to the world outside the ways in which you see the Spirit moving in this place and among these people. It will be hard and it will be uncomfortable. And there might occasionally be crowds who mock you, who maybe even think you're a little drunk. But it will change the world. Think about it. Because Peter found his voice, I get to stand up here today and say to you, listen.